Okay, question 10. Is it advisable for an undocumented person to file a standalone VAWA application to get deferred action status and a work permit if she is ineligible to adjust status because of a permanent bar, but would have a legitimate and maybe even probable shot at VAWA or non-LPR cancellation of removal? What is the risk that she would be put into removal proceedings if she tried to indefinitely renew VAWA deferred action status without applying to adjust?
What would be the bar?
First of all, make sure that the permanent bar actually applies, yeah, because there are exceptions to the permanent bar in the VAWA statute if it was connected to the abuse. If that absolutely doesn't apply, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't do that, because she's no more danger than she is these days walking down the street living her life, might as well. She's going to have VAWA cancellation available to her if she is NTA'd, put in proceedings. It does happen. We talked about it earlier. Somebody who had a U visa that was denied that was put in proceedings. So I say go for it.
I concur.
You'd want to make sure it was a good VAWA case, though.
Yeah.
But I'm winning VAWA cases. I mean, I'm not seeing any like real restriction on VAWA cases, I have to say.
Shh.
Oh.
Don't say that.
They're hard. These cases are hard.
Moving right along before the government hears you. Question 11.
No, kudos to them. Thank you, man.
Client is Australian. He has an Australian conviction.
He's what? Australian?
Australian.
Conviction for marijuana.
That's a really big joint in
marijuana.
Australia.
In these pots.
Yeah, about another size of the sandwich for lunch. That's Australian. Adjusted status based on USC wife with I-601 waiver grant for marijuana conviction and misrepresentation on ESTA paperwork, failed to disclose marijuana conviction.
He's good, mate. He's good.
Now, let me get to the question.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Now client wants to travel to Australia. Question, on reentry to the U.S., will the Australian marijuana conviction that was waived make the client inadmissible and at risk of removal?
No, it's been waived.
They have no problem. It's waived.
It's waived.
Nah. It's history. You're fine.
It's history. Here's the problem.
It's Australian for beer.
The problem is when the client comes in, his passport is going to get swiped. And what comes up on that screen is the fact there is the marijuana conviction. What may not come on the screen is the fact that it's been waived. Absolutely. Michelle is absolutely right. Carry a copy of the approval notice of the waiver.
And a copy of the disposition of the conviction.
That's right. And what will happen is you'll avoid that 3-hour sitting in an officer's waiting room while they verify what has happened or they go back and check. I want to take this quick opportunity to talk about convictions, because convictions are a real pain in the ass for aliens. And
for
we
our
all
citizens, too.
And that's right. And we get calls all the time about what is the impact of a conviction. Now, I ran across recently a situation involving a pre-trial diversion agreement in Wisconsin. And I was asked to review it to see whether or not this was going to count as a conviction. 2 years ago, the Board of Immigration Appeals held in a Texas case, it's matter of Ali Muhammad, 27 IN 92. That's the cite to the BIA decision. In that case, the board held that the alien's agreement to a pre-trial diversion agreement constituted a conviction for immigration purposes, where he specifically admitted to specific facts constituting the elements of the offense, and where he agreed that upon violation agreement, the judge could order. In fact, the judge ordered certain restrictions on his liberties. So even a pretrial diversion agreement can get your client in trouble. Now, knowing this, in the Texas case, what about to Wisconsin. What I discovered is there's a uniform pretrial diversion statute that many states have adopted. This pretrial diversion statute requires that the agreement specifically set out the elements of the offense to which the prospective defendant is going to admit that they committed. That's death. Realizing this, I worked with the criminal defense attorney in Wisconsin and said, we can't do what your state statute mandates. Can you negotiate something other than this where they do not admit to specific elements, but instead accept general responsibility or responsibility for misconduct? Language to that effect. There's a case called Iqbal versus Bryson. The cite to that is 604 Fed Sup 2nd, 604 Fed Sup 2nd, page 822. Iqbal versus Bryson ruled in that case that a person who in the agreement accepted full responsibility for actions, but there's no admission to specific facts constituting the elements of the crime, that is not a conviction.